Hare Krishna. So, this morning we started discussing the fourth chapter that we were a quick recap towards the end of third chapter. Shaunakadi rishis had tried to inspire Suta Goswami to speak about the further discussions that happened between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. At the beginning of this chapter, Suta Goswami started indicating that as soon as Parikshit Maharaj heard these discussions, speech of Shukadeva Goswami, he fixed his mind more intensely in Krishna. And then externally it manifested as it is mentioned here, Atmajaya Sutagara Pashudravina Bandushu Rajyecha Avikale Nityam Virodam Mamatam Jahau. So even though he was internally detached from all these things, after he heard from Shukadeva Goswami about how one should be detached, you know, how one should not be attached to external comforts, even externally he became detached. That's what is indicated here. And towards the end we were discussing these four kinds of identifications that one tends to have. What is this Dehatma Buddhi? Bodily consciousness is characterized by these three. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke swadik kalatradi shubhauma ijjadi yas tirtha buddhi salile salile. That is atma buddhi, swabuddhi, ijya buddhi and tirtha buddhi. We discussed. This is what character, these are the four kinds of identifications that one may have. Na karhichid abhigyeshu janeshu sayeva gokara. A materialistic person does not have these four kinds of identifications in relationship with Vaishnavas. Whereas a devotee has for him all these four identifications are with respect to Vaishnavas. Who am I? I am the servant of Vaishnava. What belongs to me? Who are your relatives, friends? Vaishnavas. What is your object of worship? Vaishnava association. And what is a place of pilgrimage where Vaishnavas come together to discuss Krishna Katha? That is the place of pilgrimage. Huh? So that is the meaning of Sadhu Sangha. One who connects all these four identifications with Vaishnavas, Atma Buddhi, Swabuddhi, Ijja Buddhi and Tirtha Buddhi, he is in Sadhu Sangha. Otherwise, it is just, we are living with sadhus but we are not in Sadhu Sangha. And that mere living with devotees will not give us pleasure and will not save us from Asadhu Sangha, Asat Sangha. That is why sometimes even while living with devotees we fall trap to our sensual attractions. Because we are just living with devotees but we are not in Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha means where there is Preeti, affection, like that. So that is what we were discussing this morning about. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, to become liberated means to become free from Dehatma Buddhi. So this is where we had this discussion. That is to be free from the illusory attachment to all the things mentioned in this verse. This automatically happens by attachment to Krishna. Bhakti Pareshanubhavo విరక్తిర్ అన్యత్ర చైష త్రిక ఏకకాల. సో వెన్ వన్స్ డివోషన్ డెవలప్స్ దెన్ ద బ్లిస్ దట్ వన్ గెట్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ అండ్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ మ్యాటర్ ఆటోమేటికలీ మేనిఫెస్ట్. వన్ నీడ్ నాట్ స్పెసిఫికలీ ఎండెవర్ ఫర్ ది అదర్ థింగ్స్. పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ హ్యాడ్ ఆల్ ద అబౌ మెన్షన్ ఆల్ ద అబౌ పారాఫెర్నేలియా బై ద గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ బై ద సేమ్ గ్రేస్ హీ వాస్ ఏబుల్ టు గివ్ ఇట్ ఆల్ అప్. దిస్ హీ కుడ్ డూ బికాస్ హీ నెవర్ కన్సిడర్డ్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దీస్ హిస్ ఓన్ అండ్ ఆల్వేస్ రూల్డ్ ఆన్ బిహాఫ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఓన్లీ. సో హౌ కుడ్ హీ గెట్ డిటాచ్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ బికాస్ హీ నెవర్ హ్యాడ్ ఎనీ అటాచ్మెంట్. హీ వాస్ అటాచ్డ్ ఓన్లీ టు సర్వింగ్ ద లార్డ్. This is what is called as Yukta Vairagya. So what is the meaning of Yukta Vairagya? Engaging something in Krishna's service without being attached to it. So Rupa Goswami says, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjatah నిర్బంధ కృష్ణ సంబంధే వైరాగ్యం యుక్తం వైరాగ్యం ఉచ్యతే. సో వాట్ ఈస్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య? రూప గోస్వామి సేస్ ఫస్ట్ అనాసక్తస్య విషయాన్, ద పర్సన్ షుడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు దట్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్. ఓకే, సో మెనీ టైమ్స్ వీ థింక్ దట్ డౌటైలింగ్ ఈస్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య, but actually dovetailing is not yukta vairagya, because in dovetailing we are actually attached to the object or we are attached to a particular kind of service or something like that, and we may utilize it in Krishna's service. But yukta vairagya, the first principle itself is anasaktasya vishayan, that person does not have any attachment to that object. The second principle is yata arham upayunjatah, he is willing to utilize it only as it is meant to be utilized. And what is that? Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, persistent use only in Krishna's service. If there is no service for Krishna, it is not used. So therefore these are the three principles which characterizes yukta vairagya. There should be no attachment to the object. One should not be personally attachment to using it. One should not be personally attached to using that particular object. And whenever it is, and it should be used only as it is meant to be used. And how? In only in Krishna's service. Then it is called as yukta vairagya. Whereas dovetailing means one may have attachment for that particular object or particular service or a particular activity, but one may be willing to utilize it in Krishna's service. So therefore that dovetailing is not outside the realm of pure devotional service. Dovetailing within the realm of pure devotional service, there is lot of facilities for dovetailing our propensities. So dovetailing is not outside the realm of pure devotional service. Actually devotional service is practiced at three levels. So three levels of practicing devotional service. The first level is dovetailing. The second level is yukta vairagya. And the third level is spontaneous devotional service. So these are like successively higher. So dovetailing means one may have particular attachment to particular services. Like for example, someone may be, like for example in my case, For me, service means, you know, I can perform other services, but I am attached to using my laptop in my teaching services. So you take my laptop away, I feel very, not very comfortable. I feel very like I am handicapped. So I have attachment. So therefore definitely it is not Yukta Vairagya. So then does it, is it at least dovetailing? When is it dovetailing? When the other two symptoms are there. What are the other two symptoms? Yatarham upayunjatah. And Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. I may not be anasaktasya vishayam. There may be asakti, there may be attachment for the object. But if these two symptoms should be there, for that, if that object can be utilizable in Krishna's service, which means, am I using it only in Krishna's service or am I using it also for my sense gratification? So, if we are also using it for our own sense gratification, then that particular object is neither fit to be used by us in Yukta Vairagya or in dovetailing. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his books, he mentions, one has to ask these three questions to see if that particular object is fit for us to be dovetailed in Krishna's service or as Yukta Vairagya. The first question is, do you need it? Do you really need it? That is the first question we have to ask. And second thing is, are we using it only that much that is necessary in Krishna's service? And the third question is using that particular object enhancing my Krishna consciousness? If the answer is yes for all these three questions, then that particular object is fit to be either dovetailed in Krishna's service or used in Yukta Vairagya. So therefore, actually Yukta Vairagya is a very elevated principle. Prabhupada writes that in one of the purports in the fourth canto, Prabhupada writes that if you can see every object in this world to be connected with Krishna and having a utility in Krishna's service, then you can use it. But if you see a potential in that particular object in your own sense gratification, then you have to differentiate between matter and spirit. See, from Krishna's point of view, everything is spiritual. Everything has a utility in Krishna's service. From a pure devotee's point of view also, this whole material world has utility in Krishna's service. That is why for him, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. This material world is very blissful because he sees unlimited opportunities for engaging everything in Krishna's service. But for a sadhaka, he has to see whether he sees any potential in that particular object for his own sense gratification. If he sees, then he has to be very careful to utilize it in Krishna's service. He has to surround himself with Vaishnavas so that particular object or opportunity is not misused for one's own sense gratification. So Prabhupada says, till you see that particular object to have utility only in Krishna's service, you have to differentiate between matter and spirit. Like for example, let's say the example of a smartphone. So smartphone has lot of utility in Krishna's service. ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ విచ్ కెన్ బి యూస్డ్ యాజ్ అన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య. బట్ నాట్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ మే బి క్వాలిఫైడ్ టు యూజ్ స్మార్ట్ ఫోన్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్, బికాస్ సమ్ టైమ్ వి మే యూస్ ఇట్ ఫర్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్ అండ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ వి మే యూస్ ఇట్ ఫర్ సమ్ టైమ్ పాస్. సో విచ్ మీన్స్ దట్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఫిట్ ఫర్ అస్ టు బి యూస్డ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్, బికాస్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య ఆర్ డౌటైలింగ్ మీన్స్ దర్ మస్ట్ బి నిర్బంధ కృష్ణ సంబంధే అట్ ఎవ్రీ మూమెంట్ వెన్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ యూటిలైజ్ ఇట్ మస్ట్ బి యూటిలైజ్డ్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్. సో ఇఫ్ వీ కెనాట్ డూ దట్ దెన్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు బి కేర్ఫుల్. దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ ది యాంటిడోట్? యూ కాంట్ స్టాప్ ఆల్ సర్వీసెస్ బికాస్ లెట్ సే యూ హ్యావ్ అ సర్వీస్ విచ్ రిక్వైర్స్ దట్ యూ యూస్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు హ్యావ్ అ స్మార్ట్ ఫోన్, బట్ అట్ ద సేమ్ టైమ్ ప్రభుజీ ఐ కాంట్ ఆల్వేస్ యూస్ ఇట్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్ ఇఫ్ వన్ మే ఫీల్ లైక్ దట్, దెన్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు యూజ్ ఇట్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ ది అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీస్ బికాస్ దే ఆర్ అవర్ ప్రొటెక్టర్స్, దే ఆర్ అవర్ గార్డియన్ ఏంజల్స్. సో దే విల్ ప్రొటెక్ట్ అస్ ఫ్రమ్ మిస్యూజింగ్ ఇట్ ఫర్ అవర్ ఓన్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్. నెవర్ యూస్ ఇట్ వెన్ వన్ ఇస్ అలోన్. సో లైక్ దట్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు ప్రొటెక్ట్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్. అదర్వైజ్ దర్ ఇస్ యాంపుల్ స్కోప్ ఫర్ డౌటైలింగ్ విత్ ఇన్ ద రెల్మ్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్, బట్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు బి కేర్ఫుల్. వన్ హ్యాస్ టు ఆల్వేస్ ఎన్ష్యూర్ దట్ ఆమ్ ఐ యూటిలైజింగ్ ఇట్ యాజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ మెంట్ టు బి యూటిలైజ్డ్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్. దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు సీ. అదర్వైజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ విత్ ఇన్ ద రెల్మ్ ఆఫ్ డౌటైలింగ్ వాట్ టు స్పీక్ ఆఫ్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య. యుక్త వైరాగ్య ఇస్ అ మచ్ హయ్యర్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ అండ్ స్టిల్ హయ్యర్ దాన్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య ఈజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ స్పాంటేనియస్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ విచ్ ఇస్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ అట్ ద స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ భావ అండ్ ప్రేమ. లైక్ యు సీ ది కేస్ ఆఫ్ రామానందరాయ్, హీ కుడ్ యూటిలైజ్ ఈవన్ ద దేవదాసీస్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్. వీ కాంట్ ఈవెన్ ఇమాజిన్ యాక్చువల్లీ, వీ షుడ్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ ఇమాజిన్. ఈవెన్ బై ఇమాజినింగ్ వీ విల్ ఫాల్ డౌన్. బట్ ఫర్ రామానందరాయ్ ఇట్ వాస్ నాట్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య, ఇట్ వాస్ స్పాంటేనియస్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. సో లైక్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ ప్రభుపాద్ సేస్ దట్ ఫర్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య యూ షుడ్ సీ దర్ ఆర్ సర్టన్ థింగ్స్ విచ్ ఫాల్ విద్ ఇన్ ది కేటగిరీ ఆఫ్ యుక్త వైరాగ్య ఫర్ అస్. లైక్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ చామర్, వ్యజన్, బెల్, ది కాంక్షల్. Do you see any utility for one your own sense gratification in these objects? No. Whenever it is used, we use it only in Krishna's service. So those objects are meant for Yukta Vairagya for us. But not all objects may fall within that category. Like the objects which may fall in the gray zone are like for example too much access to money, too much access to gadgets and laptops and smartphones. These are gray areas. Internet. So these are like gray areas where we have to be careful. Because can we utilize it only in Krishna's service? That is the question we have to ask. If we cannot, then we have to be careful. Otherwise, it will take us far away from Krishna consciousness. Like that. Okay. So then, after mentioning that Parikshit Maharaj completely detached himself from ఆత్మజాయ సుతాగార పశుద్రవిణ బంధుషు రాజ్యేచ అవికలే నిత్యం విరూఢాం మమతాం జహౌ, హీ గేవ్ అప్ ఈవెన్ ఎక్స్టర్నలీ హీ గేవ్ అప్ అండ్ దెన్ వాట్ డిడ్ హీ డూ? పప్రచ్చచేమం ఏవార్తం యన్మాం పృచ్చత సత్తమాః కృష్ణానుభావ శ్రవణే శ్రద్ధదానో మహామనాః. సో వీ విల్ టేక్ వన్ వర్స్ అట్ అ టైమ్. హీ సేస్, ఓ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్, the intelligent Parikshit, Shraddhadana, who had full faith, Krishna Anubhava Shravane. So, who had full faith in hearing about Krishna's activities, Papracha cha imam eva artham. He asked this following questions to Shukadeva Goswami. Yad mam prichata. The same way that you are questioning me, in that same way and mood, Parikshit Maharaj also questioned Shukadeva Goswami. So here, if you see, the word Krishnanubhava Shravane, Shraddhadana. So this faith in hearing Krishna Katha, is the qualification for bhakti. Rupa Goswami writes, Yakkenapi atibhagyena jata shraddhosya sevane, nati saktona vairagya bhag bhakti yogosya siddhida. So we were discussing about the qualification for bhakti the other day. So one who has this faith in hearing Krishna's qualities, name qualities, pastimes, etc., that is the qualification for practicing bhakti. So, and that is also the symptom of progress in bhakti also. That which is the qualification for entering bhakti is also the symptom of progress in bhakti. How eager are we to hear about Krishna being glorified, Krishna's glorification? Asaktistat gunakyane. How much attachment we have for glorifying the Lord and for hearing His glorification. As Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, He says, Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So such a person is always thinking of me. Madgata prana. His source of maintenance and living is only me. Bodhayanta parasparam. Bodhayanta parasparam means when there is a person to hear, he speaks about Krishna. When there is a person who can speak about Krishna, he sits and hears. And when there is no second person to speak or hear, then he sings the glories of Krishna. That is the meaning of katayantascha. So that is the symptom of progress in bhakti also, is how much we are inclined to glorify Krishna and how much we are inclined to hear about Krishna being glorified, like that. So here it is, he is telling that Krishnanubhava Shravane Shraddhadano Mahamana. He had full faith in the hearing, in the process of hearing Krishna Katha. So with that he asked the following question. So okay, so here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, I think we will read the next verse also and then we will go to purport. Samstam vijnaya sanyasya karma traivargikam chayat vasudeve bhagavati atma bhavam dridam gataha. Samstam vijnaya, very well knowing that his death was approaching, sanyasya karma traivargikam, he gave up all actions of dharma, artha and kama. So dridam gata, he gave that up and he became fixed in Vasudeve Bhagavati Atma Bhavam. He became firmly fixed in Prema to Krishna. So the point is, if you say that he gave it up, which means he was doing it. Correct? If he gave up Dharma Artha Kama, means he was actually engaged in dharmartha kama, only then one can give it up. But Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee. What to speak of dharmartha kama, he must not be attracted to even mukti, moksha. So why is it mentioned here that he gave up trivargika karma, dharma, artha and kama? Especially if you see in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says that sve sve adhikare yanishta saguna parikirtita viparyayastu doshasyat ubayo reshanascha. He quotes from the Uddhava Gita and he says that steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety. Actual piety means if you have bhakti nishta, then you have to perform only activities of devotional service. If you have karma nishta, then you have to be engaged in varanashram duties. If you have jnana nishta, then you should be engaged in activities which are meant for a jnana yogi. If you have yoga nishta, then you have to be engaged in activities of ashtanga yoga. So here Parikshit Maharaj, having the qualification for bhakti, why was he engaged in trivargika karma? So he says, for the person qualified for pure bhakti, performance of the actions of karma or jnana and failure to perform bhakti are both faults. If a person qualified for karma, bhakti, performs actions of dharma, artha, kama, then it is a fault. Then why was Parikshit Maharaj engaged in dharma, artha, kama? Yeah, to set the right example. So, just like we saw, the seed of devotion is an individual seed. Muktanam api siddhanam vasudeva parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamuni. So it's extremely rare for someone to become a practitioner of pure devotional service. So in all probability, in a kingdom, most people would be on the level of karmanishta only. Okay. So it is the responsibility of the king to set the right example for his citizens. So therefore, it is mentioned in the fifth canto when Bharat Maharaj used to perform his kingly duties. He used to very scrutinizingly perform all the sacrifices and everything. So, in one of the verses it is mentioned, what was the mood of Parikshit Maharaj when he used to perform all these varnashram duties? So, it is mentioned that he used to perform these varnashram duties only for the purpose of setting the right example for the citizens. And second, whenever possible, there is a provision in performing these yajnas that if the yajaman cannot be there to perform that yajna because he has a more important duty, then he can appoint an advaryu priest, another brahmana in his place. So on that yajna is still considered to be the king's yajna only. So Bharat Maharaj had more important activities. What activities? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam. So he used to be in his palace. He used to be worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he used to appoint an advaryu priest to perform the yajnas. So the yajnas would go on non-stop. So the example is set for the citizens. At the same time, Bharat Maharaj himself is engaged in devotional service. Is it clear? This is the second. And third thing, he he used to never have faith in performing these activities, this yajna. Bhagavad Gita says in the 17th chapter, ashraddaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayat asaditi uchyate partha nachatat pretyanoiha. So Krishna says, any activity of sacrifice, charity, austerity, anything which may be performed without faith in that process, it is as good as not performing that process, but because it will not give any result either in this life or next life. So therefore, he didn't have any faith. Having no faith means what? He didn't believe that I will progress spiritually by performing these Varnashram duties. So therefore, in that way, Parikshit Maharaj used to perform his prescribed duties. So in the same way, all the Rajarshis, including Parikshit Maharaj, so they also performed their prescribed duties in the same way, without having any faith in the process, for the sole purpose of setting the right example for others. And many times when it was possible, they would appoint an Advaryu priest to carry it out, and they themselves would be engaged in Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam, like that. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, when it is mentioned here that he gave up Karma Traivargikam, he gave up Dharmartha Kama, it means even externally he gave up, internally he never had faith. So now that Janmejaya had become old enough, he was enthroned as the king, even externally he gave up. So that one may say, oh, now if Parikshit Maharaj gives it up, who will set the right example for the citizens? His son Janmejaya was ready. So he gave the kingly duties to Janmejaya, who was carrying it out, and Parikshit Maharaj himself gave up all these three things. Like that. That is the understanding. Yes. Two questions, one here and then. Can you pass the mic? Here. Okay, you ask.
Prabhu, it's mentioned that, this normally, even Yudhishthira Maharaj also, perform many kinds of yajna only to set example for the society.
Yeah.
But question is, if they directly take the pure devotional service, even general public also can also get advantage.
No, it's not like that. It is not just by setting example, one must also get that Shraddha. It is not just setting example. See, for them, you should set an example for what they are qualified. Because most of them are qualified for karma. If the king also performs his Varnashram duties, then they will perform their Varnashram duties. If the king performs bhakti only and not Varnashram duties, the citizens, if they do not have bhakti shraddha and they give up their Varnashram duties, then it is a fault because they don't have shraddha in bhakti. That is the problem.
That means in the society, this Varnashram dharma is more prominent than the bhakti.
Yeah.
Because they don't have faith, that must faith in the bhakti, but they have a faith in Varnashram system.
Yeah, correct.
So because of this only, king has to perform this Varnashrama as to set example.
Who? Because of that only?
King.
King has to perform. Yeah, correct.
Only to set example only.
Because once someone has bhakti will purify him. But if someone does not have faith in bhakti, someone does not have seed in bhakti, the seed of bhakti, what will maintain his purity? He needs Varnashram. So therefore, a king had that responsibility.
If one doesn't have faith or, in the bhakti also, if perform, there is some benefit.
If he does not have faith in bhakti, why would he perform?
Still some benefit. If suppose like, see, you give an example of the king. he didn't have faith on the this dharmata kam moksha. He didn't have faith, but he did it, although he didn't get anything. Similarly, if a citizen perform some kind of bhakti, like suppose sometime people offering some water or offering some flower, although they don't have that much faith, just to show the others on that they are doing, still they are getting some benefit.
Yeah, but what the citizens will see is that, oh, the king is not performing his varnashram duties, so I also don't have to perform my varnashram duties. That's all they will see. They may not get attracted by the king performing spiritual activities, but they will see that the king is not performing his varnashram duties, so they will think, oh, it seems like it's okay to not perform one's varnashram duty. That's how they will see, like that. You can ask and then.
Hare Krishna. Just to, it's not question, but it's an appeal. I request the devotees to give the way. Mataji, sometime she cannot come for going to bathroom. Please give the way. She has requested me specially. She cannot come. Therefore, move little behind so that the Matajis can come if they want to come. Continue, please. थोड़ा सा रास्ता दे दीजिए अध्यक्ष को कैच
गो अहेड यस
प्रभु से यू मेंशन दैट परीक्षित महाराज ही डिडंट हैव फेथ इन दिस वर्णाश्रम प्रोसेस
या
दो ही वाज परफॉर्मिंग बट विदाउट फेथ ही वाज परफॉर्मिंग
या
सो दिस इज अ ह्यूज स्टेटमेंट बिकॉज कैन यू गिव सम रेफरेंस प्रभु से वेयर इज इट मेंशन दैट ही डिडंट हैव फेथ
I gave the reference process. Na Bharat Maharaj.
No, Parikshit Maharaj especially, he didn't have faith in this process.
See, the point is, it's not that he didn't have faith in the Varnashram system. He didn't believe that he needs to perform Varnashram duties for his spiritual progress. So it is mentioned about Bharat Maharaj, it is mentioned about Ambarish Maharaj. Even though it may not be mentioned about Parikshit Maharaj, it is understood. Because he falls in the same category. Okay, proof. I will give proof from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay. Okay, we are discussing from this section on Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So where duties expected of a qualified practitioner of Sadhana Bhakti. We are not even, Parikshit Maharaj of course was in the stage of Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. We are just talking about even Vaidhi Sadhakas. Because this discussion comes in Vaidhi Sadhana. So Jiva Goswami presents the Purvapaksha argument. He says, it has been established that bhakti should be without other desires, anya bilashita shunyam. It has also been shown that all humans, regardless of social position, are qualified for this type of bhakti. Everyone is qualified. Nirmatrasya adhikarita adhar deviso. But isn't there a problem with this? If all people who are qualified for bhakti start neglecting varnashram duties, then isn't it sinful? Won't it be sinful? If they do not perform their prescribed duties and they simply perform only bhakti, all people will be engaged in sinful activity. That being the case, how can they become pure if they are sinful? Should they perform some atonements? Like that, you know, he presents this Purvapaksha. Rupa Goswami says, Ananushtanato dosho bhaktyanganam prajayate na karmanam akaranad esha bhakti adhikarinam. నిషిద్ధ ఆచరతో దైవాత్ ప్రాయశ్చిత్తం తు న ఉచితం ఇతి వైష్ణవ శాస్త్రానాం రహస్యానాం రహస్యం తద్విదాం మతం. హి సేస్ ద పర్సన్ క్వాలిఫైడ్ ఫర్ భక్తి ఈస్ అట్ ఫాల్ట్ ఫర్ ఫెయిలింగ్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ ఆల్ ద ఇంపార్టెంట్ అంగాస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి, బట్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ అట్ ఫాల్ట్ ఫర్ ఫెయిలింగ్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ ద డ్యూటీస్ ఆఫ్ వర్ణాండాశ్రమ. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ మ్యాండేటరీ. రాదర్ ఇఫ్ హీ ఫీల్స్ that, oh, I should actually perform varnashram duties to progress, then it is actually an offense, then he will slowly lose his adhikar for practicing pure bhakti. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that when householders and kings, when they are requested, they should be performing their varnashram duties, but it is mentioned that they should perform their varnashram duties with detachment, and they should perform the activities of devotional service with attachment. And then he explains, what does it mean to perform varnashram duties with detachment? He says, they should never think that by not performing varnashram duties, I will get sinful activities, sinful reactions. And also, they should not think that by performing varnashram duties, I am progressing in spiritual life. Basically, what it means is they should not have trust. They should not have faith in varnashram duties. Rather, they should have faith in the process of bhakti. So, this is not just for Parikshit Maharaj. This is for all qualified practitioners of bhakti. This is the case. So, he mentions that even devotees under some circumstances, like say householders and kings, they have to perform their varnashram duties. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when they perform their varnashram duties, it must be with utmost detachment. And when they perform the duties of devotional service, it must be with utmost attachment. So what does it mean to perform with attachment? He says, to perform with attachment means to understand that by not performing this activity, I am going back, I am losing my spiritual credits. And by performing these activities, I am progressing spiritually. One should have that faith. What does it mean to perform varnashram duties with detachment? He says, to perform them with detachment means two things. One should not feel that by not doing varnashram, I will get sinful reactions. Second thing, he should not feel that by performing varnashram duties, I am progressing in spiritual life. He should have full faith that my progress in spiritual life is only based on my practicing the limbs of bhakti and not limbs of karma, jnana or yoga. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. That is the understanding.
Okay, Prabhuji, if you allow, can I just
Go ahead.
Further question. Like you said that varnashram dharma is not meant for the, is not counted amongst this bhakti angas?
No. Varnashram is not a limb of bhakti.
No, daivi varnashram dharma. When you perform varnashram dharma for the pleasure of Krishna.
I described this the other day also. There is a difference between varnashram duties and varnashram dharma. These two are different things. I will explain it again.
Like if Krishna is not there, then varnashram dharma, of course, it is useless. Anything is useless if Krishna is not there.
I understood your question. I will answer. Actually, we discussed this on the other day also. I will repeat it again. Okay. There is a difference between varnashram duties and varnashram system. All Vaishnavas, practitioners of pure devotional service, accept varnashram system. But they don't accept varnashram duties. There is a difference. I will explain. Like we saw the other day, we saw this varnashram system as being a, you know, concentric disc. What is the center? Krishna or Vishnu. And what is this center disc? Pure devotional service. And this middle disc is divided into three sections. Okay? This is Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Okay? And the outer disc is also divided into three: Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga. Okay? So now, if you see, this is the Varnashram system. All of these people, they worship Vishnu. Okay? So all of them are under Varnashram system only. But not everyone in this disc perform Varnashram duties. Okay? Like Varnashram duties means duties of a Brahmachari. Those kind of duties not everyone performs. Like for example, one who is on the level of Jnana Yoga. Yastu Atmarati Revasyad Atmatraptascha Manava Atmanyeva Isantushto Tasya Karyam Na Vidyate. So one who is qualified for Jnana Yoga, he does not perform karma. Varnashram, but it's not that he is outside Varnashram system. He is within Varnashram system only. Similarly, an Ashtanga Yogi, when he reaches the stage of Yoga Ruda, Yoga Rudasya Taseva Shamak Karana Muchate, the means of his progress when he reaches the Yoga Ruda stage of Ashtanga Yoga is when he gives up his Varnashram duties only. Whereas a Karma Yogi and a Karma Mishra Bhakta, they have to always perform Varnashram duties. So you see, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 sections in this Varnashram disc. Only 2 sections actually perform Varnashram duties. Who? Jnana Yogis, that's what? They need not perform. Correct. One is a qualified Jnana Yogi only when one's heart is purified. At that stage, he does not perform his Varnashram duties. See, what is Jnana Yoga? Jnana Yoga means sannyas, karma sannyas. When one can take up to karma sannyas? Only when one's heart is purified by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. But after his heart is purified, he need not practice Varnashram Dharma. But that does not mean he is outside Varnashram system. Is a purified Jnana Yogi outside Varnashram system? No, he is within. But does he perform Varnashram duties? Not, it is not needed. He can perform. Krishna says, tayostu karma sannyasat karma yogo vishishyate, he says. And then an Ashtanga Yogi who has reached the stage of Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, does he perform his Varnashram duties? No. Which means when he is performing his Dhyana, in between he will go to perform his Sandhya Vandana? No. So therefore, there is a difference between Varnashram system and Varnashram duties. These two are different things. Varnashram system means a system which is centered around worshipping Vishnu. But Varnashram duties, when it is mentioned, it means specific duties of Brahmachari or Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra. These duties. And these are not generic. There are specific rules and regulations. We may think that we are following, but if you actually understand what are the specific duties, there are many, many yajnas that we may have to perform, which we do not perform actually. So therefore, the problem comes when we think that Varnashram Dharma and Varnashram duties are same. We don't reject Varnashram Dharma. Rather, we don't reject Varnashram duties also. But we don't think that our progress in spiritual life is dependent on performing Varnashram duties. Our understanding is our progress is dependent on practicing the Navada Bhakti. That is our understanding. Is it clear?
Can I make a question?
Yeah.
This is a question. You spoke about kings and householders, yes. Can you make some example for families? How is it works in the families? I feel that is inside of the families in the same situation. If we don't make our duties in the family, then and people not are on the station for bhakti, then they fall also.
No, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So and definitely, this, yeah, we have to.
Yes.
See, the point is, let us see, if a husband is taking care of his wife, a devotee husband is taking care of his devotee wife, is that varnashram or is it devotional service? What is it? It is devotional service only. We don't make that artificial distinction. So even though taking care of one's wife is not within the 64 limbs that Rupa Goswami has mentioned, but it falls within the category of anukulyasya sankalpo, that which is anukul. So when a devotee husband takes care of his devotee wife, it falls within the category of serving Vaishnavas. So that duty we have to take care. So for that, we don't have to necessarily create that distinction that, oh, this is varnashram duty, this is bhakti. Not like that. Like for example, let's say I am performing vaikalika bhog for the Supreme Lord. I am cutting fruits. Okay. So by mistake I cut my finger and blood starts oozing out. Okay. So now I have to tape my finger. Okay. So I tape my finger and then again start cutting fruits. Will you say taping finger is varnashram and cutting fruits is devotional service? It's not like that. So that way, if that is your definition of varnashram, then yes, we accept it. But our understanding is we don't call it varnashram, because varnashram is much more clearly defined than what we think. A duty of us, you know, a son acting as a son to his father, and a devotee husband acting as a husband to his wife, does not necessarily mean that it is outside the purview of pure devotional service. They are very well within. It falls within the category of anukulyasya sankalpo. What is anukul? So what is the scope of pure devotional service? That we have to understand. Is serving one's family members outside the scope of pure devotional service? No. So if you define, okay, Prabhuji, we can't give up these duties, I may also agree. Yes, Prabhu, we can't give up these duties. The only difference is in defining. You define it as varnashram, whereas I say, no, Prabhu, that also falls within the realm of pure devotional service only. So, that is the point. Of course, this is a topic which needs much more discussion and clarification. We will discuss off the class. But for now, we will move ahead. It is mentioned here that he gave up his Traivargika karma, indicating that we have to understand that he was performing that Traivargika karma only to set the right example and with no faith. No faith means what? Not that one should not think that, oh, this varnashram is not useful for, varnashram duties are not useful for anyone. He thinks, I am qualified for practicing pure devotional service, so my progress in devotional life happens by my practice of Navada Bhakti only. Whereas these other things, I do it to set the right example for others who may not have the seed of pure devotion. That is the meaning of having no faith. Because he has full faith that this varnashram duties are needed for others. But he does not feel that if I don't perform my varnashram duties, I will not progress in devotional service. That is not the right understanding. Because three times in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami again and again mentions that varnashram duties are not limbs of bhakti. Varnashram duties are not limbs of bhakti. Varnashram duties are not limbs of bhakti. Like that. because it is very easy to think that that is also a limb of bhakti. So he very clearly clarifies that varnashram system is, bhakti is within varnashram system. But bhaktas need not perform varnashram duties. These are two different things. In fact, bhakti is the very center of varnashram system. But do bhaktas perform varnashram duties? They may or may not. That is okay. But do they have faith that performing varnashram duties is helping them progress in spiritual life? No. That they don't feel. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoy. That is their understanding. Yes, Prabhu. Can you pass the mic?
This varnashram system, particularly those people who are doing the pure devotional service, which are those who want some material desire to be fulfilled, is to be fulfilled through varnashram system, not through any other method, because that is a approved system as per our shastra. Actually, it's mainly meant for that purpose, no other purpose either. If people doesn't have any material desires to be fulfilled or other than pure devotion, it doesn't require to go for varnashram system. Instead, he can have the pure devotional
Correct.
Service.
Again, here I want to clarify. On the first or second class we discussed, there are two kinds of desires. If one has other desires on the level of abhilasha, then yes, he has to perform varnashram duties. But if one identifies those desires as anarthas, then one need not. So that one has to be very clear. Okay. So now Parikshit Maharaj is going to ask his questions. Raja uvacha samichinam vacho brahman sarvagyasya tavanaga tamo visheryate mayam hare katayatak katam. Anaga brahman, O sinless brahmana. Sarvagyasya, when an omniscient person like you, Harehe Katayatak Katam, speaks Krishna Kata like this, Tamo Vishiryate Mahyam, by hearing this Krishna Kata, all my ignorance has been destroyed. Tava Vachaha Samichinam, therefore I conclude that your words must be very fitting words, because my ignorance is destroyed by hearing your katha, like that he says. So now, if you see, this is very important, like in a place where there is a teacher and a student. The teacher expects some reciprocation from the student to understand whether both of their times are being fruitfully spent or not. So therefore, the teacher looks for some signs or signals from the student that yes, there is some productivity that is happening. So, like, some are quite expressive, some are like, you know, I have seen some classes where people are just staring at you. You don't understand whether they are understanding you, whether they are accepting or not. So, whatever question you ask, they just keep staring like this. So, here Parikshit Maharaj is telling, actually your words are quite befitting. How do I know? Because it has removed my ignorance. Like that. That's why if you see, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya must be really appreciated. He sat with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days. That's the same duration that Parikshit Maharaj sat with Shukadeva Goswami. But if you see, so many times Parikshit Maharaj keeps on appreciating Shukadev Goswami. Yes, 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 you are right. I know I am getting help. You know, my ignorance is gone. You know, you are so great. Thank you very much. Please continue speaking. Like that, so many things that he keeps telling. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not speak a single word. 7 days he was just sitting and not... The first thing that he spoke after 7 days of hearing that Vedanta from Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is that I don't understand. Your explanation of that he later says. So first he says, do you understand? And he says, no, I don't understand. That must have been a thunderbolt on Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He was a very important person. He had many important things to do. He was taking a one-on-one class. That is still difficult. Sometimes, whenever I get free time, I take some one-on-one discussions with devotees. Some people say, please, you know, I want to revise Bhagavad Gita or I want to revise Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Can you please revise it for me? So like that, one person comes. So when that, so if 10 people are sitting and 1 or 2 people doze, then it's okay. But if that one person is there and you are really eagerly explaining some concept and that person is like that, he's sleeping, it's so discouraging in one sense. So here Parikshit Maharaj is telling, your words are quite befitting, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, because it's actually removing my ignorance, like that. So here, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this verse talks about the practical experience of Parikshit Maharaj, which is removal of ignorance. But this effect can be felt only if, first, the hearer is sincere, and second, the speaker is uncontaminated by material tinges. So only if these two qualifications are there, then it leads to removal of ignorance. So therefore, Prabhupada concludes his purport by telling, therefore the crucial test for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is that one should get a positive enlightenment by such hearing. Then, that is proper hearing. Bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chesha trika eka kala. Simultaneously, you should get a positive enlightenment and also detachment should increase from this material world, like that. Okay. Bhuyayeva vivatsami bhagavan atma mayaya yatedam srijate vishvam durvibhavyam adishvaraihi. He says, my dear Lord, again I am asking you, I am going to ask you more questions. Vivitsami, actually I desire to know, yata bhagavan atma mayaya idam vishvam srijate. How does the Supreme Lord create this universe atma mayaya by his energy? Durvibhavya Madhishwarehi. This subject matter is difficult even for the great devatas to understand. Can you please explain this topic to me? How does the Supreme Lord create this universe? By his energy. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, for anyone who is inquisitive, the question about creation is natural. Any inquisitive person would naturally try to know, oh, how does this universe come about? For every unknown question, one should approach an authority. And such an authority should be a sarvagya, like Shukadeva Goswami. So, in the previous verse, he says, he addresses him as sarvagya. Sarvagyascha tavanaga. Tamo vishiryate mayyam harehe katyatak katam, he says. Parikshit Maharaj had no doubts about the origin of creation. Parikshit Maharaj did not ask who created this universe. He says, how does the Supreme Lord create? And also he says, how does the Supreme Lord create through his energy? So which means, he had an understanding of who creates, how and through what agency. Does he personally create or does he create through his energy? That much he had understanding. What he wanted to know was, what is the process of creation? How does this creation process happen? That he wanted to know. He just wanted to know about the process of creation. Therefore, no intelligent person will doubt the hands of God behind his creation. For example, an engineer is behind the electrical energy production from powerhouse. Therefore, we don't accept the theory that energy is independently powerful of the energetic. So we don't, energy means the natural question is whose energy is it? We don't say that, no, there is no energetic but there is only energy. That is not our understanding. Okay, so then Prabhupada further writes, neither did Parikshit Maharaj ask directly about Vrajalila and nor did Shukadeva Goswami jump directly to the 10th canto. Because, you see, Shukadeva Goswami had come for Parikshit Maharaj only. Shukadeva Goswami knew that Parikshit Maharaj had only 7 days to live. And the Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. What Shukadeva Goswami narrated is only a very small part. As the personal parrot of Radharani, he knew all the pastimes, or many of the pastimes, many more pastimes of Krishna and Radharani. He could have expanded 10th canto easily for all the 7 days. But still, he agreed to answer Parikshit Maharaj's question about creation only. See, actually, let's say for example, if there is a very sincere student who is preparing for the exam, okay, and the day before exam, he goes to the professor and asks about certain concepts which need some time for explanation. So if the professor knows that this subject matter is not in the portion for tomorrow's exam, so he might say, don't worry about this, this is not within the portion of exam, I will explain it to you after the exam, he could have told. So even though Parikshit Maharaj had asked the question, even if Shukadeva Goswami had told, no, you don't need this, I will explain to you about topics which are more relevant for you at the time of death. You think Parikshit Maharaj would have objected? He would have heard. So, he could have told, I understand you have a desire to hear this, but you see you have just 7 days to live. So, I will speak to you those topics which are needed for you to prepare your consciousness to leave this world. He could have told. And he could have directly spoken the 10th canto. But he never spoke. He elaborately, one full, almost like 1.5 cantos, he describes only creation only. Sarga visarga. Elaborately he describes. So that's what Prabhupada is indicating here. Neither did Parikshit Maharaj directly ask about pastimes in Vrindavan, and nor did Shukadeva Goswami jump directly to the 10th canto. Both of them proceeded systematically so that both the speaker and hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam might take lessons from the example of the procedure of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the procedure of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam? One can understand from this. Therefore, the lesson is that one in this material world must first know how the material energy works, and then one can try to enter his pastimes in Vrindavan. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wants one about the pitfall of neglecting the Aishwarya Gyan of Krishna. Where does, where in Chaitanya Charitamrita he says? Siddhanta Koriya Chitta Nakara Alas Yaha Ete Krishna Lage Sudrida Manas, he says. So one should not be neglectful towards the philosophical sections of Srimad Bhagavatam and directly jump to. Only a proper understanding of Aishwarya Gyan can produce the firm faith in a devotee. Only those who have properly qualified themselves with this Aishwarya Gyan can properly relish the 10th canto pastimes. Okay. So as we saw in the beginning of the chapter, I quoted this verse from the 5th canto, where Sukadeva Goswami mentions that I have described to you in the 2nd and 3rd canto about the Virat Purusha and this how and the process of creation and how and the workings of the Purusha avataras. He says, if one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explains it to others and develops faith, bhakti and pure intelligence, he will understand the topic of the Supreme Lord, which is like an Upanishad, difficult to understand. So he said the higher topics are very difficult to understand. Whereas this activities of Purushavataras in creation, maintenance and destruction, they are easy to understand, he says. So which means that our calculation is wrong, which means we think we have understood, but probably not. Okay, then he continues. Yata gopayati vibhur yata samyachate punaha yamyam shaktim upashritya purushakti parappuman atmanam kridayan kridan karoti vikaroti cha. Now he elaborates his question further. See, just from the way a person asks question, you can easily understand how much he knows about the subject matter. Okay. So, when a student asks a question, a teacher who knows the subject matter properly, he can very easily understand how much to what level of answer he needs to give to that student. Because the question itself reveals how much the student understands actually. So here he has asked about creation process, but now he is revealing more details. And the question itself reveals how much Parikshit Maharaj already knows about creation. So he says, Yata gopayati vibhu, I desire to know how the Supreme Lord maintains yata samyachate punaha and then destroys the universe again. Which means he understands that the Supreme Lord creates and Supreme Lord destroys. Then he says, yam yam shaktim upashritya, what are the various energies that he uses? Okay. Purushakti parappuman, that Lord who is the possessor of Purushakti, many many shaktis, amongst those many energies, what particular energies he uses? Atmanam kridayan, to sport with maya, karoti, and create the elements. So which means he knows that he utilizes specific energies through the agency of maya manifesting the primary creation. Karoti, vikaroti. He says kridan, kridayan. You all are Sanskrit pandits, you can tell what is the meaning of kridan and kridayan. To make someone play. Cause to play. Kridan, kridayan. Atmanam means oneself. Atmanam, kridayan. So he says, how does he sport with maya? Karoti. for creating the material elements. And Kridayan, how does he make Brahmaji and the other demigods and Prajapatis, how does he engage them? Atmanam Vikaroti, and create the bodies of living entities, which are also in one sense non-different from Krishna. So, Atmanam in the first case refers to the material universe, which is the material form of the Lord. And in the second case, Atmanam refers to the body of the living entities, which are also in one sense non-different from Krishna, being their energies. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kammano buddhi revacha ahankara iti amme binna prakriti rashtada. So, it is also his binna prakriti. So, in that sense, it is non-different from Krishna. So, Atmanam karoti, Atmanam vikaroti. Kridayan, kridan, kridayan. Okay, kridan means he himself plays. Plays means engages in primary creation. Kridayan means he engages the devatas like Brahmaji and Prajapatis in secondary creation. How does he do it? Yata gopayati vibhur, yata samyachate punaha, yam yam shakti mupashritya. And which particular energies of his many energies that he utilizes in creation. So he is not telling, can you please talk about the topic of creation? So he says, he is now clarifying. From the question itself, it is very clear that he knows a lot about creation actually. So here, then he continues. There must have been people like that in all ages. Any new philosophy you hear in today's day and age, all these kinds of philosophies in slightly, you know, different bottle, in slightly different packaging, they were always there. Charvak philosophy has always been there. The Lokayatikas, Vaibhashikas, Prabhupada talks about them. The Buddhist philosophy, they've always been there. So all kinds of atheists, agnostics, all those kinds of people have always been there. Just that instead of asking those questions in English, they might ask in Sanskrit. That's all. Just because someone asks a question in Sanskrit does not necessarily mean that he understands the subject matter. So it is just like one who understands English does not necessarily have the capacity to understand a physics book which is written in English. So like that. So there have been very sophisticated Sanskrit speaking atheists, agnostics, everyone, materialists in all ages. Just that they will also speak in Sanskrit. You will think that they are speaking Bhagavatam. They are speaking some atheistic theology like that. Yeah, varieties of people were there. Yeah, not all were pure devotees like that. Their names are given. Nunam Bhagavato Brahman Hare Radbhuta Karmanah Durvibhavyam Ivabati Kavibhischapi Cheshtitam. He says, my dear Lord, Bhagavata Harehe Cheshtitam. The activities of the Supreme Lord, Adbhuta Karmanah, who performs astonishing pastimes, Nunam Durvibhavyam Iva Abhati, they are certainly very difficult to understand. Kavibhischa Api, even to the most intelligent people, they are bewildered and they cannot understand the about the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, you should please explain it to me. Like that. Because Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami may say, look Parikshit Maharaj, from your question itself I can understand that you already know about the process of creation. Why you are asking again? He says, no, this subject matter is difficult even for the most intelligent people to understand. So you please explain it to me in more detail, like that he is indicating here. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. The material world is only 1/4. It is called the Ekpad Vibhuti. 1/4. One pada is 1/4. Tripad means 3/4. So material world is only Ekpad Vibhuti. And Vaikuntha is Tripad Vibhuti. And is not created and is eternal. Also the Lord is Anadi. All these are very difficult for common man to understand. So in our 6-session course, we say that, how do you understand the existence of Lord? So we may say, you see, you have a father, your father has a father, his father had his own father, like that you trace out. So naturally, you will reach God. And he says, then naturally I will ask the next question, who is Krishna's father? So you say Nanda Maharaj, then you say, okay, Nanda Maharaj is God then. So there is a limitation to that, to some kind of, these kind of arguments. Because we are trying to use purely logic to explain a particular subject matter. It has its own limitation. Even with respect to this material world, the scientists are totally confused and have many different opinions. So, and also they are trying to go to other planets through mechanical means. Again, Prabhupada is bringing back. Prabhupada is writing about at that time US was sending its. Two? Oh, achha. Prabhupada says, okay. Oh, achha. Okay. Also, they are trying to go to other planets through mechanical means. Oh my God. Without changing their bodily constitution. Prabhupada says, this is impossible. Bhagavad Gita says, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitran Yanti Pitra Vrata. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes, from Parikshit Maharaj's own admission in verse 7, he mentioned that it is very clear that he knew about the process of creation. Why then did he ask Sukadeva Goswami more? Prabhupada says, because that much knowledge was not sufficient. So therefore he wanted to know more. The Lord is unlimited, and therefore with limited knowledge and imperfect senses, even up to Brahma, no one can understand the Lord. Therefore one can understand these subject matters only from the statements of the Lord through the disciplic succession. That is the only way. Otherwise, Durvibhavyam Ivabhati Kavibhischapi Cheshtitam. Even for the most intelligent people, these subject matters are very difficult to understand. And then, he further asks one more question. Yata gunamstu prakriter yugapat kramashopiva bivarti borishastveka kurvan karmani janmabihi. He says, again you see the question. Yata, just as the Supreme Lord, kurvan karmani, while performing activities of creation and destruction, bibarti prakritir gunan, he supports the gunas of prakriti. Ekaha, as one purusha. As Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. As Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, he oversees the primary creation, he empowers pradhan, impregnates the pradhan with the living entities, impregnates the pradhan with his kala shakti as one single person. Ekaha. But at the same time, Bhurishaha api. But he also supports the gunas through many forms of devatas in his secondary creation. Yugapat Kramashopiva. Yugapat means simultaneous. Kramashaha means one after another. So basically he's asking, this primary creation and secondary creation, does it happen parallelly or does it happen sequentially? Which means, while the, see, primary creation means creation of the planets. Secondary creation means creation of the bodies of living entities who would be populating these various planets. Okay. So, creation of the 14 planetary systems is primary creation. Starting from Karanodaka Sahaya Vishnu glancing at Pradhan. Okay. So creation of the bodies of the living entities according to their karma and swabhava by Brahmaji and the other Prajapatis, that is Visarga, secondary creation. So he is asking, while the Purushavataras are creating this material universe, are the devatas engaged in simultaneously creating the bodies of living entities? Or is it that first the universe, 14 planetary systems are created, after that they start creation? Is it a parallel process or is it a sequential process? That's what they want to know. Sorry, Parikshit Maharaj wants to know. Is it clear, the question? Primary creation and secondary creation, is it parallel or sequential? Like that he's asking. Huh? Sequential only, yeah. Okay, then he continues. Vichikitsita metan me bravito bhagavan yata shabde brahmani nishnata parasmincha bhavan kalu. He says, my dear Lord, please speak about these topics. Yetad me vichikitsitam, about which I am doubtful actually. Because Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami may say, you have told that this is very difficult for even the demigods to understand. Kavibhischa api cheshtitam. And you have also mentioned that it is very difficult for even the most intelligent people to understand. So now you tell me, why do you think that I know the answers for these questions? So he is telling Parikshit Maharaj, why do you think that I know the answers for these questions? So Parikshit Maharaj says, actually, Shabde Brahmani Nishnataha. You are not an ordinary person. You are expert in discerning the truth in scriptures. Yata Bhagavan. And you are, just as Krishna knows about creation, you know about creation in the same way. Parasmimscha Bhavan Kalu. Not only that, you have also realized Krishna. So therefore, you are qualified to answer these questions. Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasur Shreyam Uttamam Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Brahmani Upasamashanam. Same two qualities are mentioned. So Shabde Brahmani Nishnata is the same as Shabde Parecha Nishnatam. Brahmani Upasamashrayam is the same as Parasmimscha Bhavan Kalu. Like that. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord is Purnam. Even though unlimited expansions who are equal in power with Him emanate from Him, He is still full. Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. You see, this is a different explanation of that invocation verse than what Prabhupada actually wrote. So Prabhupada in Ishopanishad, anyone remembers what is the translation for this verse? Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. Anyone remembers? You remember? Can you pass the mic?
The Purnam, the sufficient, supreme is Purnam, and material creation is Purnam. And when
even though unlimited material universes emanate from the body of the Supreme Lord, he still remains full. That is the explanation there. Here he gives, I think this is Baldev Vidya Bhushan's explanation. Not complete, but at least partially. Even though unlimited, completely full, Purushavataras, Leelavataras, Gunavataras, Manvantaravataras, Shaktiaveshavataras, they come out from the Supreme Lord, still the Supreme Lord remains full. Like that. But material speculators cannot understand this. But devotees can easily understand this. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. Why can the devotees understand? Prabhupada says, Sevon mukehi juhvadau swayameva spuratyadah. Because they are Sevon muk. Naturally, Krishna reveals it to them within their heart. Swayameva spuratyadah. Therefore, one must first engage in the service of Krishna, then all the secrets are revealed by Krishna. Tesham evanukampartam aham agyanajam tamah nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvata. Krishna says. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. Yeah. Parikshit Maharaj admitted in the 8th verse, Durvibhavyam ivabhati kavibhischapi cheshtitam. This is difficult even for the most intelligent people to understand. Then why is he asking Sukadeva Goswami to clarify these doubts? Because, Prabhupada gives two reasons. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, Krishna himself says, no one except me or my devotee knows the intended meaning of the Vedas. And then, second he says, the Lord empowers the devotee more than himself sometimes. Sometimes the Lord empowers his devotees more than himself. Like he empowered Hanumanji. Hanumanji could, if you read the whole Ramayana, you would be wondering, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You know, if you see the power displayed, certainly, I mean, everyone knew that Hanumanji could have single-handedly destroyed Lanka and brought Mother Sita back. But still, such a long battle with so many monkey soldiers and everything had to happen. So, that's what Prabhupada is giving here in the purport. For example, Hanuman crossed the ocean, which Lord Ram took many days to complete, even constructing that. Also, the Lord could not save Durvasa Muni, but Ambarish Maharaj could save. He said, oh, I'm sorry, I cannot do anything. You have to go and ask Ambarish Maharaj. Like that, he said. Therefore, the lesson, Prabhupada gives two very nice lessons from this verse. He says, one should approach a bona fide spiritual master who has factual realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And second, one should not be eager to hear about the Vrindavan pastimes of the Lord, but must also be eager to hear about the Srishti Leela of the Lord in his Purushavatara features also. Like that. These are the two lessons that Prabhupada presents in this purport. So now, Sukadeva Goswami is going to answer these questions. If there are any quick comments, questions before we move on, because we are going to start the next section, so you can take. Okay. Yeah, what I spoke was, Prabhupada says, Vishnu Jagadakur, elsewhere he talks about. I mean, the first day, in the first 2 days discussions, we discussed from Vishnu Chakravarti course, second canto, 10th chapter purports, he writes. So we discussed. He says that for one who is liberated, these 10th canto pastimes can be most effective. But for those who are still afflicted by the material energy, they can be purified only by hearing these pastimes, like that he says. So now Suta Goswami says, Iti upamantrito rajna gunanukatane harehe rishikesham anusmritya prativaktum prachakrame. Iti upamantrito rajna, being thus requested by the king, guna anukatane harehe, about the qualities of the Supreme Lord, rishikesham anusmritya, Shukadeva Goswami remembering the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh, prativaktum prachakrame, he prepared to answer. So, why Rishikesham? He could have told Govindam Manusmritya, he could have told Krishnam Manusmritya, or anything, Adokshajam Manusmritya. So, he mentions here that Rishikesham Manusmritya, because he is going to ask the nature of the prayers that Shukadeva Goswami is going to ask is prayer for empowering his speech. The sense of speaking. And because Rishikesha, the Supreme Lord, he is the Lord of all the senses, therefore the word Rishikesham Anusmritya is indicated. And also Rishikesham Anusmritya indicates that his smaran of the Supreme Lord is going to flow in the form of vandanam, prayers. So, here, see, these verses generally indicate in a conversation that is happening when Suta Goswami is narrating about the conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami, let's say. These interlude verses where Parikshit Maharaj has finished asking his questions, now Shukadeva Goswami is going to answer these questions. So these interlude verses are important. Why? Because they indicate what is the mood that is prevailing in that room in which this conversation is happening. Is Shukadeva Goswami pleased by these questions? Is he happy to answer these questions? Here it is mentioned, Rishikesha Manusmritya, remembering the Supreme Lord. So these are it, because when Shukadeva Goswami would start speaking, he would make a statement and the words in themselves do not express the emotion that he is going through. Like for example, when I say, Prabhuji, apne prasad le liya? Did you take prasad? So, that is, from the, it expresses concern, right? I am concerned whether you have taken prasad or not. Now, if I ask, prasad le liya na? It indicates, seva kyun nahi hua? It has nothing to do with prasad. Even though I have asked, have you taken prasad? But it has nothing to do with prasad. Why didn't the job get done? You took prasad, na? Like that. So therefore the word, even though it is the same sentence, from the way in which it is written, you cannot understand in what mood it is spoken. Is it spoken with sarcasm? Is it spoken with concern? Is it spoken in jest or in a joking way? Is the person who is being questioned, is he happy with the questions? Or is he bored with the questions? Or is he irritated by the questions? So these interlude verses are very important. They indicate what is the mood that is prevailing between the inquirer and the speaker. So Parikshit Maharaj all of a sudden has asked about creation out of nowhere. So now Suta Goswami is telling that Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami, as soon as he heard this, he immediately meditated on Rishikesha and he started answering these questions like that. Yeah, this is a very beautiful section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami's own prayers. Generally, Sukadeva Goswami would speak about other persons, Gajendra's prayers, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, Prithu Maharaj's prayers, Dhruva Maharaj's prayers. But now he is starting by offering his own prayers. So very nice set of prayers, where the mood of the prayer is to, please, my dear Lord, please empower me to speak so that I can properly glorify you. That is the mood of Sukadeva Goswami's offering these prayers. Real Bhagavatam starts from 1.1.1. Okay. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, devotees, while speaking about the Lord, do not think that they do anything independently. Devotees do not think that I am independent, or I will speak. They think that they speak only that which they are induced to speak by Rishikesha, the master of senses. My dear Lord, please inspire me to speak. Also, they understand that proper utilization of senses is only when they are employed in the service of Krishna. Therefore, one should always seek the permission and blessings of the Lord before speaking, so that they can become free of the four defects when they speak. So when we speak with in a proper prayerful mood, and we speak not our own opinions, but what is given and written in the parampara, then it frees us from the four defects. The moment we start speculating our own things, then immediately we are within the realm of four defects. Because anuman is defective. So when we start introducing our own understandings and lessons, then immediately we fall within the realm of anuman praman. Many times we think that if I give my own explanations on the scriptures, that is philosophical speculation. No. But it is not like that. Philosophical speculation is different. So philosophical speculation is called as Shastra Yukti. And one who has perfectly studied, understood, imbibed the writings of the Acharyas, he can probably explain. But otherwise, many times we tend to give our own lessons. So that is not necessarily philosophical speculation. So, anuman on shabda is not shabda praman. It is still anuman praman only. Because our sense of logic is based on our pratyaksha only. So to use our, because our sense of, how does one sense of logic develop? The sense of logic develops based on purva pratyaksha. Whatever, like you see, there is a smoke in the mountain, so there must be some fire. That is an anuman. So where did that anuman or logic come from? he must have seen in kitchen that when fire was there, along with that smoke was coming. So our anuman is dependent on pratyaksha. But pratyaksha has its own defect. Anuman has the defects of pratyaksha plus additional defects. Okay. So if you use pratyaksha based anuman in explaining scriptures, that does not become shabda praman. That is still anuman praman only. Shastra yukti is philosophical speculation. Shastra yukti means, but one can, the logic of scriptures, not logic that is developed based on our observation. And one develops that logic only when one has properly heard in parampara. Like that. Yeah, it is Shastric logic. It must be Shastric logic, not... Yeah. You cannot say that, Dhruva Maharaj did this, pastime says. And they say, this shows that lesson 1, lesson 2, lesson 3, lesson 4, Dhruva Maharaj. But okay, they may be valid points, but to say that Dhruva Maharaj did this only because of this, how do we know? The conclusions, the lessons may be right, correct lessons, lessons which are relevant for devotional service. But to say that Dhruva Maharaj performed these activities only because of this, which means, and especially if the acharyas have not spoken about this, then it indicates that we also have Leela Spurti. Isn't it? So, we can say generic devotional principles, that is right. But if we say that this particular pastime was performed to show this lesson, and if it is not mentioned anywhere by the acharyas, then that is sort of a breach. How do we know? That question arises. So therefore we have to be careful. We can always present generic devotional principles. They are always welcome. But we cannot superimpose those in pastimes. Which means we are claiming that we know the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. Or we know the heart of Prahlad Maharaj. So that is a great honor and privilege which is bestowed upon the acharyas. Common men cannot do that actually. So we have to be careful. Many people only very innocently do. Very innocently they do. But then one has to understand where is the border. And which we cannot breach actually. So therefore Shastra Yukti is different from philosophical speculation means Shastra Yukti. Not using our pratyaksha based anuman on pastimes of Bhagavatam. That is not philosophical speculation. One has to understand that. That is mental speculation only. If someone says, if it is my revelation, okay, I mean, give him the benefit of doubt, you have your choice to take that point or not. It could be a revelation also. But we have full trust in Vishnu Jagadish Thakur, Prabhupada, Jiva Goswami's revelations. There is no doubt about it. But for other devotees, we can give them the benefit of doubt. Okay, let it be a revelation only, no problem. Yeah, because coming in their parampara, other devotees also are, it's not that the revelation parampara ended with Prabhupada. Devotees coming in the parampara, they can also have revelations. Nothing wrong in that. But at least we know for sure that these revelations are written on hard rock. there is no question of debating it. What is there in Bhaktivedanta purports and what is there as the in the purports of Vishnachakrita Thakur or Jiva Goswami, they are like guaranteed for sure, like that. So now Shukadev Goswami is going to offer. You can say this is Shukadev Goswami's Mangalacharan. Or maybe not, he has already spoken so many verses before. But these are Shukadev Goswami's prayers, you can say for sure. Okay, it's 4:25. Maybe one prayer we will do and then rest of the prayers we will do tomorrow. Some of these prayers we will try to memorize also. Okay, together we will memorize. Okay, it's a good exercise I sometimes try to do. In a small group it is good. This is not exactly a small group, this is a little medium sized group, but it's still okay. Shri Shuka Uvacha Nama Parasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sadudbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shaktistritayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Nupalakshya Vartmane. Okay. Now, so generally prayers and some important verses we tend to memorize. So at least in these verses you be little attentive on the word meanings. Okay. So now he says, Nama Parasmai. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Who is this Krishna? Purushaya Bhuyase. His powerful expansion is Mahavishnu, Purusha, the first Purusha. Purushaya Bhuyase. What does this personality do? Sadudbhavasthana Nirodha Leelaya. As a pastime, he performs. Sad here refers to the universe. Udbhava, creation. Sthana, maintenance. Nirodha, destruction. Sadudbhavasthana Nirodha Leelaya. Okay. How does he perform creation, maintenance and destruction? Does he do it personally? He says, Grihita Shakti Stritayaya. By accepting his Maya Shakti, who is made of three gunas. Tribir Gunamayer Bhavair Ebis Sarvam Idam Jagat. So, through his Maya Shakti, which is made of the three gunas, Grihita Shakti Stritayaya. He creates this, creates, maintains and destroys this material universe. Dehinam Antarbhavaya. And as Garbhodakasai Vishnu and Shirodakasai Vishnu, he acts as the super soul. Actually, all three Purushavataras are super souls only. Shirodakasai Vishnu is the super soul in the heart of all living entities. Garbhodakasai Vishnu is the super soul of individual universes. And Karanodakasai Vishnu is the super soul of the whole material prakriti. Okay? So like that. So, he says, Dehinam Antarbhavaya. And as Garbhodakasai Vishnu and Shirodakasai Vishnu, he also acts as the super soul of the Dehi. Dehi means one who possesses Deha. The living entities possess Deha, their own bodies. The universe possess universe as its Deha. Okay. So, and then he says, Anupalakshya Vartmane. Vartma means path. Anupalakshya Vartmane means who cannot be realized by other paths other than bhakti. Okay. Try to recollect the verse. What did we see? Don't look at your book. Try to recollect what we saw. Whatever you can recollect, you tell me. What does he say first? I offer my respectful obeisances. Nama Parasmai. Unto Krishna. And who is that Krishna? Purushaya Bhuyase. Purushaya Bhuyase means whose powerful expansion is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. What does Karanodaka Sai Vishnu do? Sad Udbhava Sthana Nirodha Leelaya. He performs as a pastime creation, maintenance and destruction of this material world. How does he do? Does he do it personally? Grihita Shakti Stritayaya. By accepting Maya potency, who is made of the three gunas. Okay? And then what does he say? Huh? Before that, Dehinam Antarbhavaya. He is situated as a super soul in the hearts of all living entities and also in the universe. And then finally he says, who cannot be understood by any other process other than bhakti. Anupalakshya Vartmani. Okay? So now what we will do is we will together chant this verse three times. Okay? And then you will recollect. Okay? Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase sadudbhavastana nirodha leelaya grihita shakti stritayaya dehinam antarbhavaya nupalakshya vartmane. Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase sadudbhavastana nirodha leelaya grihita shakti stritayaya dehinam antarbhavayanupalakshya vartmane. Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase sadudbhavastana nirodha leelaya grihita shakti stritayaya dehinam antarbhavayanupalakshya vartmane. Okay, someone recollect the first line, first of the four. Second line. Sadudbhava Sthana. Third line. You can raise your hands and tell. How does he perform this creation, maintenance and destruction? Grihita Shaktis Tritayaya Dehinam. And then, what is the fourth line? Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmane. Okay? Okay, anyone wants to recollect the first two lines? Raise your hands and you can try. Yes. Very good. Next two lines. Next two lines. Dehinam Antar Anupalakshya Vartmane. Okay, who wants to try the full verse? Anyone? Narad Prabhu, you want to try? Hari Bol, wonderful. Anyone else would like to try? Bhuyase. Grihita Shaktis Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmani. Okay. So, here, here Shukadev Goswami offers his respects to Krishna in his unlimited power of the Purushavataras. Purushaya Bhuyase, Bhuyase Purushaya. First he describes the pastime of the first Purusha. What is the pastime of first Purusha? sadudbhavasthana nirodha leelaya grihita shakti stritayaya. By accepting the Maya Devi consisting of the three modes, he creates, maintains and destroys this material world. Okay. Then he speaks about the second and third purushas who are antarbhavaya, dehinam antarbhavaya, who are the super souls in everyone's heart. He can be realized one, then he says that these personalities can be realized only by bhakti and no other process. Anupalakshya Vartmani, like that. Okay, so we will pause today's discussion here, and tomorrow we will further discuss the prayers, and I think four or five more prayers we will do this exercise. So get used to it. So by this way we can memorize many prayers in the class only. Okay. Oh, you can do that also. But we will do tomorrow in class also. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.